The US major market indexes fell into a bear market territory on December 24th, 2018. As we approach another possible bear market, we notice the bears are in the wild. There are no fish jumping from the lakes or the streams, and it seems as if they are upset about something.
Now, adjust the volume control so that the sound can be heard in all parts of the room.
This is the Protect Your Assets podcast. Mr.
Sandman, you get the idea? Bring me
a dream. It's on the internet. Make him the cutest
that I've ever seen. Go on. Give him two lips
like roses and clover. It's a great program.
And tell him that his lonesome nights are over, Sandman.
What is it?
It's exactly what I need.
It's a slam dunk.
It's great.
It's like no cheese I've ever tasted.
Please turn on your magic beam.
Oh, here he comes.
Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream.
Here's David Hollander.
This has been the worst week for the markets since the recession. We've had the biggest drop on the Dow for one day ever. Good morning. This is Protect Your Assets, and I am David Holland, your host, and I have a lot to talk to you about today. Have you seen some of these headlines from MSNBC? Stocks keep plunging in the worst week since the financial crisis. From the Journal, Wall Street. Stocks have biggest weekly losses since 2008. Yahoo. Wall Street in historic sell-off as WHO, that stands for the World Health Organization, declares global level coronavirus risk. Whew. Well, these headlines should raise a big red flag for anyone who's invested in the stock market today, especially if you're retired or getting close to it. But even if you didn't watch TV, even if you didn't listen to the radio or read the newspaper, what do you think's going to happen to the stock market next week? Is the longest bull market in history over? You know what they say, all good things must come to an end. And unfortunately, it looks like this unforeseen event, the coronavirus, has caused, certainly, without a doubt, the next current market correction. So the only way you could potentially protect yourself is by knowing where you stand right now, 100%, and if you don't, taking some action today. And that's why I'm so excited to talk to you this morning, because I have five things you need to know today about the market and about the bear, because that's the question. Is this a bear market we're entering into, or is it just another correction? Oof, stinky. And then this past week, all the major indexes were down big time. And it was kind of like a flurry. Many people were just wondering what was going to happen. And should they just jump out? It's so interesting how that's the first reaction that people have. And so today we need to go back to school. And we need to understand what's happening. So when these things happen, you can listen to this again and again and again. Consider me your Zen master. No one can predict what the markets are going to do from day to day. It's absolutely impossible. What I can help you focus on is how you place and invest your money. understand how you live off of that money in retirement. So let's start with some basics. So you know what's happening when you hear these things and you can say, oh, that's what that means. It doesn't mean that, because so many people go to that when it's not that. It's this. What's a correction? What's that? That's a market crash or that stinky bear. Yes, that's the bear. A market correction is a 10% drop in the market where you have a decline of at least 10%, or a little greater in this case, of the stock or bond market from its recent high point. That's called a correction. So right now, the Dow, because I just mentioned at the top of the show, the Dow, which went down last week 12.36%, that is more than 10, that is a correction. The S&P 500 went down 11.49% last week. That is a correction. And the NASDAQ went down 10.54%. That is also a correction. But that's not a bear market. Why? Because a bear market is when you're down more than 20%. There have been 123 market corrections from 1900 through 2013, resulting in at least one correction per year on average. So is this our one correction for the year? It might be. And what triggers a market correction? Well, this time it was a shock. It was an unforeseen event. Unless you were the person who released it in China, then it was unforeseen for the rest of the world. The coronavirus. The coronavirus has been out there for a while, but all of a sudden, people in Italy started getting it, and one person here in California, apparently, in the public got it. And the next thing you know, whoa, whoosh, excessive selling. And the market went to a correction this past week. It's exactly what happened. Now, I find this fascinating to me. Why? Because last week when the market hit all-time highs, they were reporting that the corona had already affected over 76,000 people. And this week it moved to 80s, low 80s. And all of a sudden, this happens. Apple announced 2 weeks ago that they weren't going to be able to put an iPhone in San Francisco because of the shutdown in China. Did the market react to that? No, not really. Went higher the next couple days. So I'm just scratching my head right now. It was the end of the month, wasn't it? Yesterday for the market? Mm-hmm. And how many people had puts or shorts out on the big markets? Well, there was one major hedge fund manager named Ray Dalio who had a $1 billion put on the S&P 500. Did you know that? So I just find it fascinating to me how some of this stuff kind of correlates. And maybe I'm just simple-minded. I don't know. But this is not a bear market. Since 1932, bear markets have occurred on average, get this, every 3.8 years. 3 years and 9 months to be exact. And this is according to research from Invest Tech Research. The current bull market is still around. And we're in year 12, I think, now. So there was this rumor out there that every 10 years, like remember how this happened back in 2000 and then 2009, roughly, 2008-9, however you want to count it, right? 1999, 2009. My math's good. Right? 10 years? There's this kind of recent theory that every 10 years, there's this massive sell-off. And so everyone just starts assuming, oh, it's now over 10 years, so it's going to just sell off. That's just not true. In fact, the statistics I just showed you prove that's not true. So as I explained, a bear market starts when the market drops 20% or more. Why do they call it a bear market? This is interesting because, believe it or not, the term bear market came from the pioneers. from the Bearskin Traders, believe it or not. That's where it all started. And then Wall Street came up with their idea of what a bear is. That's when, you know how a bear like swipes down with those big claws and like, have you ever seen a bear like slash meat? It's kind of interesting to watch that. Their nails are really sharp. I don't like bears. Anyway, when the bear was scratching the prey, its hand goes downward. That's why they call it a bear, because the bear is like swooping or pushing the market down with its paw. So that's a bear market. And the average bear market decline, get this, in the S&P 500 since 1929 is 39.9%. Yeah, 39.9%. And most people think that recessions start bear markets, but guess what? That's not true. Bear markets actually help kick off recessions. It's the other way around. And do you know what the worst bear market was in U.S. history? Well, that was the time from September 1929 to June of 1932, and that resulted in 86.2% loss for the S&P 500. They say markets always come back, right? Well, that's true, but how long did that one take? Didn't come back till 1954. So that was about 25 years to recover. And that's exactly why people who are nearing or in retirement need to be more preservation-minded thinking. So when the bear comes, it doesn't really affect you. And this is the elephant in the room right now. What is going to be the effect of the coronavirus on businesses around the world, particularly in the U.S.? What is going to be the effect? That's the question. This is a shock. This is a shock to the market, but let me take you back in time. The terrorist attack, September 11th. I remember where I was. I was sitting in my bed. I turned on the TV and I saw those buildings started to blow up. I had friends in those buildings. And it seemed like the world ended that day, didn't it? Remember when Iraq invaded Kuwait in 1990 and then all of a sudden we went to war against them? And you remember the World War II attack on Pearl Harbor? Well, I don't. I wasn't alive back then, but I certainly have been there and I've seen it. I had a client who was there and explained it all to me, what happened. It was terrifying. But guess what? Given all of those major worldwide events, think about those things. What was the range it took for the market to recover? 31 to 308 days. So I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm going to give it about 8 weeks. Let's talk again in about 8 weeks. See what's going on. Okay. Coming up next, it's time for our popular They Say segment. And believe me, I heard a lot of they said this week, where they say, you're going to love this one, you should have all of your retirement account in your company's stock. Is that really a good idea? Let's find out. Keep it tuned right here. You're listening to The Sandman on Protect Your Assets. We'll be right back.
If you missed any of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, all you have to do is go to pyaradio.com where you can download or listen to our latest shows for free. Just go to pyaradio.com on your computer or mobile device when it's most convenient for you. That's pyaradio.com.
There it is. It's beautiful.
What is it?
That's my 401k.
Your day to retire.
It's time to take it.
Oh, wait a second. I got a bad feeling about this.
It's been there for 30 years. Nothing bad will happen.
Well, what about taxes? I heard legends of people who take the 401k pay hefty service fees and taxes.
That's just a myth. Trust me, nothing bad will happen. What's happening?
The myths were true. It's taxable income.
What are we gonna do? Who is that?
I don't know, but he's wearing a nice suit.
He's helping us with my 401k. Let's get out of here.
Wait, he dropped his business card.
What does it say?
The Sandman?
Listen to The Sandman, David Hollander, every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on KNBR 680.
If you missed any of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, all you have to do is go to pyaradio.com where you can download or listen to our latest shows for free. Just go to pyaradio.com on your computer or mobile device when it's most convenient for you. That's pyaradio.com. And if you don't win,
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman. And you're listening to Protect Your Assets on the Protect Your Assets Radio Network. And when you feel down or play that song I'm playing right now, it'll cheer you up. Yes, the stock market was on a tear this year, and it was looking like it was going to go to all-time highs, which it did. And many people were wondering, when was it going to start falling apart? Well, this past week, it did. Just did that. And people are wondering now if it's going to keep going down more, and it certainly could. But is this the beginning of the bear? Is this the end of it all? I just don't think so. And if you missed any of the last segment or the segment before that where we were analyzing it and going through it, then you got to go to pyaradio.com, pyaradio.com, and listen to our podcast where it's all right there. Now it's time for one of our fan favorite parts of the show, our They Say segment.
They Say.
Are you kidding me?
Where we debunk common myths, half-truths, and sometimes just bad advice that they say.
Can you give me an example of what you're talking about?
I would love to, and this one came right out this week. Perfect timing, if you will. Here's one that they say. They said this to one of our customers before they became our customer, that you should have all of your retirement in your company stock. This is unbelievable. This fellow had, seriously, a risk score of 99. Now, in our Riskalyze schedule, the highest possible risk you can have is 100. And when we put his portfolio in our little machine that analyzes this stuff, he came out at a 99. Now, he took our Riskalyze test, and you know what his comfort level was? You know what his Sandman sleep number is? 30. Can you believe that? Zero is the lowest. 30 is like way down there. His portfolio was triple what he was comfortable with. So let's just say that wasn't such great advice from They Say. Okay. Remember back to 2008, 2009, it kind of seemed like that this week. A lot of people were starting to feel that way. And it really seemed like there was no place to run or hide because everything was getting slammed, except for fixed income. If you had high-quality fixed income, you did all right this week. And this week, we saw for the first time the Dow closed down over 1,000 points, not just one, but 2 days out of the 5 trading days we had this week. And so it was hard for a lot of people to ignore that. And the hang-in mentality just didn't really work, right? I mean, you were kind of scared. So let's walk through some more ideas that you can do to help protect yourself right now. And I want to ask you the question, do you have too much money in one stock or a group of stocks that are in one particular sector? Because Mark did. And Mark, like you just heard, had a 99 on his Riskalyze score, when in reality, he felt more like a 30. And get this, Mark wants to retire in a couple years. And he's got money saved, you know, cash to pay for those 1 or 2 years when he's retired. And then he just thought he'd start drawing off the dividend off his one stock. But after this week, I didn't really like that idea very much. And we were talking about it throughout this week. It was just kind of weird how this happened. He called us like 6 weeks ago, maybe 8 weeks ago, and brought this all up. And we started going through this process I'm explaining to you about the Riskalyze. And we figured out where he was. And we just started selling stuff to just get him to where he needed to be. And that was good. Because I don't know about you, but did you see what the financials and the banks did this week? I mean, they were off pretty big. I think in his particular case, the week ending down on that particular position was like 13% or 14%, somewhere in that range. And that hurts, particularly if you're going to retire in the not too distant future, because now all of a sudden your retirement plans change. So one of the things we talk about is buying a basket of different types of stocks and bonds and alternatives. I don't want to leave out alternatives. If you don't have any alternatives in your portfolio, now's a time to really understand what those are and find out about them and see if they're appropriate for you. Because alternatives should react differently than the market. And when you blend all these three things together, you tend to smooth out the ride. In other words, this is just an example. Let's say the market, like it did this week, you know, let's say it goes down 13%. And if your portfolio is allocated a certain way, then it should go down what you're comfortable with. If you're at a, say, a 40 and your downside is a 6% in that sort of environment, then that's what it should do when you look at everything together. Don't just focus on that one growth account. That's the basket, right? It's a different basket. You're looking at, you know, you're looking at a red ripe apple when you really should be looking at maybe your oatmeal or something. You know what I mean? It's a different. Just think about it that way. They're different. They do different things. But if you have it all in one stock, and sure, this was a very strong, great, much better position than it was in 2008 financial institution that right now is in much better shape than it was back in 08. This is not 08, by the way. Then it still got smashed. Not as bad as it did in 08 or 09, but it still was painful. And so by having all of your stuff in one stock, you can get hurt. And that's important to understand that. So what else should you do? Well, having 100% of your investable assets, like your 401k, all in a mutual fund mix, even if it's asset allocated, could be a mistake. Why? Well, because a lot of you invest in these things called PIEs, or, you know, multidisciplinary funds where they invest in different things for you. Target allocation funds. I mean, I see them all the time. You have 100%. I saw it last night, in fact. Someone came in and she had 100% in this one fund. And you just think it's safe. It's not just because it's diversified and you spread your dollars around a bunch of different asset classes, like large cap, mid cap, international, fixed income. Just because you do that doesn't mean that it's safe. It helps smooth out the ride, but it doesn't mean you're safe. Back in 2008, some of those things went down over 20%. Still, it happened. I know. There's a lot to stay on top of financially. I want to give a big thanks today for putting this show together. My team here, thank you. Executive producer Anthony Kojikari, network manager Kevin Renfer, and of course all my fabulous producers there helping us out. Dora, Phil, Felicia, Claire, and Raph, thank you. Because without my team, I'm just another pretty voice on the radio. Thanks again, everybody. You've been listening to the Protect Your Assets show. I am David Hollander, the Sandman. Have a great weekend. Go out and make the rest of your life the best of your life. Mr.
Sandman. All calls have been screened, and callers should not expect their conversations with David Hollander on the radio or with staff to be held in confidence. Legal information provided on the air is not intended to be a substitute for callers hiring their own lawyer to advise them about personal legal matters. Proper advice depends on analysis of all the facts and circumstances, and information given on this program is general financial commentary and cannot be relied upon pertaining to your specific financial situation. California Life Agent number 0B48569. Listeners should consult their own financial advisor or conduct their own due diligence before making any financial decisions. The preceding program was paid for by Liberty Group LLC, and the views and opinions of the host do not represent those of this station or its ownership.
A Kojo Media Experience.